Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. Last week we went 3-2 on best bets, which was a modest achievement in one of the craziest rounds in memory in terms of the amount of surprising results. But I dived into each and every one of the games in the Sunday live recap. I do that every week. Even if you're not able to tune in live, I do recommend re-watching that YouTube, Facebook, or having a listen on your podcast players, because I do share my key learnings, my key takeaways from watching every minute of every game, and with an eye to how we can use it to profit for future rounds. So I spoke all about last week in the recap, including losing the mixed matchup. Now, we've lost 4 out of 6 rounds. The average losing margin on the mixed matchup, 2 points. The two that we've won by an average of 20. And then the multis, we're down -4 units for the season. And it's funny because in past years, I feel like we've always gotten out of the blocks by hitting a juicy multi. So we've always been like in nice positive territory and then just built on that. I don't feel like we've ever really had like a negative record for very long in any season. But that's just a normal part of punting on long odds things. You're going to go several bets between hits. I mean, we've shot for multis this year, 60 to 1, 30 to 1, 25, 15s, and it's only going to take, obviously, hitting one or two to flip the stats. But in the meantime, as I say, reality of punting, we haven't got there yet, because the truth is, every single round this season, I've gotten one game with best bets, at least, gotten wrong. So, yeah, I'm not going to be right on every game, but in saying that, 6 out of 6 weeks, we have gone 60% or better on the best bets. We're 17-10 for the season, which, to give a bit of context, last season we went 170 and 100. So kind of on that same pace, and this is obviously in the solo era of the Tripod. And just on that note, I know there's people who tune in and out of the pod, people who followed in the past but haven't maybe followed recently. I still get questions asking where Alex is, and I did mention it in the season preview, as well as on several episodes of the off-season pod, Wide World of Punting, that Alex, sadly for us, took up a full-time position poached by GVC, the company that owns Ladbrokes and Neds. So if people are wondering, because I've had the question, how am I going without Alex, it definitely is harder to find quality best bets, I would say, rather than easier. You might think it's easier because I'm on my own, I don't have to argue with anyone, but you've got half the number of people analyzing the games, trying to find value, but there's also kind of no refinement method, where we used to butt heads a bit and try and weed out the weaker of the plays to leave us with strong plays that we both really liked. Instead, you guys just get what I like, and I'll be the first to say, I'm not going to win every week, and I don't think anybody in this day and age can hit 60%+ for an entire season. I know the Tripod's done it 5 times, but the marketplace gets harder to beat every year. In saying that, we still try. Now, round 7 coming up this week, it's a doozy for me. Like, I'm going to share my best bets as I always do in the first 5 minutes, but I was looking at every matchup up and down pretty paralyzed. Like, there's a lot of clear favorites this week, but when it came to the lines, I felt like the bookies are either bang on, or I had reasons to either like both sides in a matchup or be against both sides. So I'm going to disappoint you guys. I've only got 2 best bets for round 7, both on the same game. So here they are. So I'm taking the Bulldogs +8.5. $1.88 on Ladbrokes and Neds. They are playing the Sharks on Saturday night. And in the same game, Bulldogs +16.5, $1.90, Sportsbet, Ladbrokes and Neds. Now, this year, we've had a number of really high magnitude favorites. I think by my count, 6 or 7 times we've had lines bigger than 16.5 this season. But look at the teams that have been those favorites. The Panthers multiple times, the Storm, Souths. The Sharks are not on that level of those teams. You know, they don't have a strong home advantage at Jubilee. Now, Sean Johnson is back, sure, but potentially going to play limited minutes. At this point in time, he's named on the bench, and even if he plays, it's his first game to click with the offense. It's still only a week ago that they knifed Johnny Morris. Are we sure there's no after effects? Are we sure they're just going to be hit the ground running again? And I also just don't know. And then Wade Graham's out as well. And I don't know if the Bulldogs are as bad as everyone thinks. Now, the Bulldogs might be the worst team in the NRL. They're the only winless team. But there's a few decent players in this squad, and it was always a team that I said would improve through the year. So they are a side I'm looking to maybe get a little bit better each week. And I'm seeing flashes, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this matchup, but also what I saw against the Cowboys. I just don't think they're necessarily going to get blown away in this one. I wouldn't be shocked to see a kind of 1-12 result. So I've got to take the Bulldogs with the points. I know that's not going to be popular. That's probably why it's good value. Before I jump into the preview of all the matches in round 7, there's a rugby league punting related event, I guess you could say. Gallen is taking on Brown in the boxing tonight, and I'm not a boxing guy, but I will say, I must admit, they seem to have done a really good job with the marketing, because I've been seeing that everywhere on social media, all the build-up. I'm interested in it. I don't know if I'll watch it myself, but you guys let me know in the comments, because from a betting perspective, a few days ago, Gallen was a $2.80 underdog. I just checked before, he's $2.15. Who knows what price he'll be when it starts. So let us know in the comments, are you having a punt on it? Who's your tip? Gallen or Brown, or are you betting on a different market? Whatever the case may be, enjoy the fight, guys. One last thing before you get to the games. We get a word from Tristan from Top Sport. Obviously, Top Sport sponsors the pod, which means, full transparency, they pay for this spot in the podcast. But I really feel it's valuable for sharp punters to hear where the bookies had their biggest wins each week and also where the biggest bets are coming for the upcoming round. So let's have a listen to that.
Hi Tim, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, where there was a very interesting weekend just gone in the football, where there were finally a few upsets in the NRL. After the first 5 weeks, the favourites shot pretty straight and the punters had a field day accordingly, but there was quite a few upsets in the weekend just gone. And not only that, there were a few of the real rough teams like the Broncos and the Tigers, which pushed both of their respective opponents right to the wire and just went under in close games and obviously covered the start. So the matches on the weekend that saw the biggest moves were probably the one of the biggest moves actually of the weekend was the Doggies. They were 6.5 into 4.5 there, and the Cowboys actually covered that. So one of the favourites that did win was actually on the other side of a betting drift. The Tigers were well supported at the plus, but obviously we laid a lot of 13 plus money at the same time, so that one worked out okay. The Storm were the biggest losing result for us, and for the punters' point of view, the Storm were very well back. They were back from 6.5 out to 8 when Brett Morris came out at jump time, and they covered quite comfortably. The other game that I'm forgetting to mention, which was an absolute massive plunge on the back of a variety of reasons, so it wasn't just a pure weight of money, it was also some player movements. There was obviously a lot of uncertainty with the Sharks, but the Knights were back from underdogs into heavy favourites. The line ended up around about that 4 mark, so punters on the way through got a result as the match fell on 4, but you know there were a few that missed out on the top end line right at the death. But in saying that, it was a bookmaker's round. There were some big upsets, Manly getting the result, Parramatta getting the result, and also the Warriors, just to name a few. We move on to this week where there's some very interesting games coming up. We've got a game in particular where you couldn't believe Manly would start $1.50 favourites 2 weeks ago, and they are. So that'd be one of the biggest momentum shifting teams, where on the back of one player coming into the team, Tommy Trbojevic, makes such a big difference on the back of 2 wins. The Tigers were quite good in their performance against South, so it is surprising to see them at 5.5 point underdogs. The other game that's an interesting one is the Roosters against the Dragons, where that one also sees the Dragons at a 6 point handicap, where you know there's still a lot of question marks surrounding both of the sides. I think we're getting to the point now where the teams that are in those double digit underdog line marks, so your Warriors, the likes of the Knights, are actually genuine 16 point underdogs, as opposed to around that Easter weekend where there are a lot of teams up around that 16, 18, 20 points where the lines moved heavily in the favoured team's direction, whereas I think these lines are probably a true reflection of where the game could sit, and you could see one of these teams really fire up and push the favourites to the death. So anyway, good luck if you're having a punt on the weekend, and as always, gamble responsibly.
Now let's get into each match of round 7 from a punting perspective. The opening round match is the Panthers hosting the Knights, and the Panthers are a 16.5 point favourite. The Panthers will lose Momorowski to suspension. Dylan Edwards and Coruscant both in the reserves. Possibility they could return to this team, which would then allow, say, Crichton to cover the centre loss. The Knights lost Heimel Hunt 5 minutes into the game last week. He's out. Stafford Toa comes back in. Now, interestingly, the Knights finished 7th last year. The 6 sides that finished above them are probably the same 6 that are the strongest 6 in the competition this year. And there are also 6 teams the Knights haven't played yet. So the Knights played all either bottom 8 sides or Cronulla in the first 6 rounds, and they've gone 3-3. You'd have to say that's not great from Newcastle, but then again, they've been injury ravaged pretty much. So I guess that's you go 3-3 in a rough spell, you could do worse. But now they've got a really tough string of opponents, and that begins going and playing the Panthers at Bluebet Stadium. And look, you don't like betting against a good team off a loss. Now, both these sides are off a win, but I just wonder if the Panthers view that like a loss. The Panthers had covered every game in 2021 until last week. They lost to the line by 20 points because they're a 28.5 point favorite. They only won by 8, and they got those 8 points late as well. So I'm not going to play on the Panthers because the Knights are not a terrible side, and 16.5 points is a heap of points to be trying to lay against a decent team. Like, now that Ponga's back in this Knights side, they've got some resilience. And you know what? If some things had gone differently last week, the Knights would have beaten the Sharks handily. I think if Ponga and Watson were full health, if some video ref calls didn't go against them. So I actually lean to the Knights. I lean to unders, but I can't quite do it just in case the Panthers come out ruthless in this one. Moving to Friday, the Titans host the Rabbitohs. The Rabbitohs are a -6.5 point favorite. Big news is Tino suspended for the Titans. That's obviously a massive out. The Don returns. And Latrell Mitchell is suspended, I think, for a month. And just one more point on that. Like, he lashes out in that Tigers game. The replays showed it. The bunker sees it. I just feel like if Latrell Mitchell was sent to the bin at that point in time, I think the Tigers win the game. Because, as we know, they had an 8-point lead late in the game. And, in fact, they were the ones who suffered somebody sent to the bin. Instead, it somehow is overlooked during the game. And then everybody benefits but the Tigers. The Bunnies pull the win out there in one of the craziest games you'll ever see. And now the next four South Sydney opponents are going to benefit from no Latrell. But the poor old Tigers, it doesn't help them. Now, this is a similar one to Penrith. Yeah, the Rabbits won last week, but will they treat that like a loss, knowing that they weren't really as good as they expect? And do they come out and try and make a statement here? I look at the Titans and the Rabbitohs up and down, and I really think these are very evenly matched teams, except for the halves and the hooker. And I talked a lot about that in the recap. I really feel the halves players letting the Titans down. They're front runners. When the forward pack's mauling or running over the top of the opponent, yeah, the halves are doing their job and being made to look good, but they're not affecting a game. They're not controlling a game. They're not injecting themselves into a game. Now, fair enough, like, Ash Taylor had an injury, was out of the side for a couple of weeks. Now he's back in. This is the kind of game, if the Titans are to win, their halves, Fogarty, Ash Taylor and Mitch Rain at hooker, they need to step up and they need to match the absolute class that the Bunnies have. I don't know if they will or not. This will be a great test of them. So I don't have a strong a lean in either direction. I guess I'd have to take the points with the Titans at home, but Rabbitohs could definitely outclass them. I don't have a best bet on that one. Later on Friday night, the Eels play the Broncos in Darwin. It's already a rematch. These two sides met in round one, if you recall. 16-0 Broncos at halftime, 24-16 final to the Eels. They ran over them second half. Now, I've got here Dylan Brown returning from suspension, but I've put an asterisk on that. I won't say anything more, but I'm not 100% certain if that will be the case. Ryan Madison, one of these weeks he'll be back, I really hope, for the Eels, and he'll give them a boost. But we just don't know. It's a guessing game as he is trying to overcome this kind of concussion symptoms. So you can't count on him being back until he is, I'd say. For the Broncos, their best performance last week since COVID. And that's, you know, I guess not saying much when you lose a game and it's your best performance in a year. But it was, and they really had their chances against Penrith, and they add Herbie Farnworth, who's been one of their best in 2021. So I think they're going to take confidence, the Broncos, on the road, that they can compete. They're not going to Darwin to necessarily get a hiding. If they come with that kind of level of desperation and pride and attitude that Kevy clearly has instilled, you look at, they've got some solid players in this Broncos team. Obviously, Haas was suspended first month of the year, and you got like a Tevita Pangai Jr. showing what he's capable of. So yeah, I didn't pick Brisbane for a bottom four finish this year before the season because they're not a terrible roster. They could come in and make a game of this, but I won't go against the Eels either. It's funny, the Eels really failed us 2 weeks ago, couldn't cover, couldn't even win, and couldn't get 13 points against the Dragons, and then go down into Canberra and score 35 points and win by 25. So this Eels team is certainly capable of getting on a roll against opponents. Papali, one of the buys of the year. But I'm not going to lay the points, as I said, because I do believe that Brisbane can be a competitive team too. So it's just it depends what type of attitude Brisbane takes on the road with them, basically. Then we move to Saturday. It's an early game, but there is no afternoon game on Saturday because of the triple header Sunday. So it's a twilight game. The Sharks play the Dogs at Jubilee. The line is 16.5. And as I've explained, best bets on the Dogs, first half plus 8.5 and full game plus 16.5. $1.88 Ladbrokes and Neds for the first one. $1.90 sports bet Ladbrokes and Neds. A matchup of the two teams who faced off in the mixed matchup last week. So last week we needed the Dogs to outscore the Sharks, but they didn't. They lost 22-18 in the mixed matchup that I get with customized odds. So again, I spoke about that at the top of the pod. We fell short there. Now they face off for real, and the line is expecting a game that's not going to be close. I look at it, it's a funny one. Like I mentioned before that the Sharks could have easily lost comfortably to Newcastle. I feel like there was a scenario where Newcastle could have ran away with that game last week. But by the same token, the Sharks also could have won because once they got back into the game, it was clear Newcastle's game breakers were like underdone and really struggling, and the whole Newcastle side looked like they were just about out of gas. And the fact that the Sharks let Newcastle then swing the game back around and pinch it is quite disappointing for them. So it's really hard to know what to make of that. I do think it shows a decent amount of squad resolve in that Cronulla team, because I think after the week they had last week, they could have easily got pumped by the Knights, but they came out to play, and you do get a huge boost. I'm not going to understate the boost of a guy like Sean Johnson coming to the team. You know, is it going to be like a Trbojevic type boost? He was their best player last year. But I just think the fact that he's named on the bench, how many minutes is he going to play? What position is he going to play? I'm just not certain it's going to instantly gel. I've spoken about in upcoming weeks, and I talked about this on the recap, I'd straight swap him for Chad Townsend. I'd say, thanks very much, Chad. Thanks for being part of the Premiership side in 2016, but you're not in our best 17. Let's not forget, Wade Graham is a huge part of this Cronulla side, and he's still out. Tolman also misses with suspension. Speaking of suspension, the Dogs will be out Hetherington, but I'm not sure if that's a loss, knowing his decision-making. Jackson Tapine is injured. I think last week was very winnable for the Dogs. It was 6-6 at halftime, and Taumalolo wasn't playing. And they absolutely let themselves down in a 20-minute period in the second half, conceding 18 straight points and having a man sent off, only to then fight back at the end and fall short. I just think this Dogs team has a little bit more life in them than what maybe they're portrayed. As I said, I think this line is too high because the Dogs haven't covered a game yet in 2021. I think that changes on Saturday. I think they cover this one against Cronulla. Then we move to the night game. The Cowboys host the Raiders, and the Raiders are a 9.5-point favorite. The Cowboys named the same 17 that's won two in a row, which is impressive in the sense that their best player, Taumalolo, was a withdrawal late before each of the previous two matches, and they still showed up and won, and not to mention Michael Morgan having to medically retire. On the other hand, who have the Cows beaten? They beat a Tigers side that completely no-showed in the first half of that Sunday Arvo game, and then they beat a Dogs side that everybody has been beating. So what we've got with the Raiders is they're off a true embarrassing loss, and you don't want to bet against a team that is good, and the Raiders are still good, off an embarrassing loss. Now, the changes are pretty significant. Hodgson was injured, so he's out. Tom Starling comes in. Tom Starling's a good player. We saw what he did last year. The bench and the starting sides are shuffled, but Ricky does that every week, so I'm not going to buy into that in terms of it being a message to certain players. It's just Ricky likes to keep the opponent guessing and freshen guys up. But he has dropped Joe Tapanay, and he has dropped Soliola, and Simonson failed HIA, won't play either. So Harawira Naira, Corey Horsberg, and Sebastian Chris all come in. Now, this line feels quite high for the Raiders when you do consider the last two games. They got beat by 20 to the Raiders, and to the Panthers, and then they got beat by 25 to the Eels, and they're missing key spine players. Of course, CNK is out as well. But then again, maybe this line's extra high because the Raiders might come in and just take their frustrations out on the Cowboys in this one. So I won't go against Raiders, that's for sure, because I could really see them getting amped. But the line feels a bit too high that I'm not getting a great amount of value. What I am going to do, though, is use this game as the second part of a mixed matchup. So that is for round 7, the Raiders to outscore the Sharks. And that's paying $3.50, which I think is quite juicy. Now, although I don't have a best bet on the Raiders, as I mentioned, I still see a clear case of a team that I think comes in angry, and once you've been pumped the last couple of weeks, if they get on top, they may really put their foot down. And the Cowboys aren't a side that you really trust defensively. I mentioned that Hodgson's out, but Starling kind of proposes different problems to Hodgson and actually could unlock the play of Whiten and Williams, who I think have been a little stifled because they haven't got as much early ball as they did last year. So I'm not like positive that the Raiders are going to blow them out or win big, but I do think there's that decent possibility. And of course, the other half of this equation is I think the Dogs can keep it a bit closer than most people probably do against the Sharks. So therefore, I'm kind of thinking Sharkies could be in that 22 to 26 point range, let's say. And then I think $3.50 for the Raiders to be above that is pretty juicy. So I like that. That's on Top Sport, and you can join with the promo code TRIPOD and have up to $100 on that if you like it as well. Let's move to Sunday, where it is Anzac Day, lest we forget. And we have a triple header of footy on Sunday. So it begins with the Tigers hosting the Manly Seagulls at Wank Best, and the Seagulls are -5.5 point favourites. The Tigers are without Kapoa, he did his ACL. Cheekam moves into the centres. Manly named 1-17 side that won 36-0 in Mudgee last week. And if you watched it, of course, it wasn't all turbo, but it's really hard to quantify that confidence boost that he does provide the 16 others that put on the jersey with him. Just being back in that side, they play super confident, and they absolutely lapped the Titans in a game that most people didn't even give Manly a chance. But the Tigers, on the other hand, you have to give them credit too. They were outstanding in terms of effort against the Bunnies, but it's also one of the most heartbreaking losses you can ever remember. At least it is for me. Like, all the circumstances in that game, the fact that they were a huge underdog, but as I mentioned before, were up 8 with 10 to go. They had a field goal shot to win this. They missed. They thought they scored a 100-meter knock-on return try and golden point. It was overturned because it wasn't a knock-on by Burgess. So like, how they respond, how West respond, could go either way for me, because it can be hard to pick yourself up after a heartbreaking loss. Whereas I think I know what I'm getting from Manly in this game. I think they firmly believe they're a top eight side that just had a slow start, and they want to start rolling now. So they're going to come in, expect to win. And I think Manly are on an upward trajectory. This line is, I think, a fair reflection that the Manly are a little bit better. And, you know, it's tempting to say this could be a good game. It certainly could be. And you might want to take the points with West. You can probably even find a +6. But I just can't trust the mental state of West. And if they come into this one and they're not fully switched on, they'll lose by more than that. So I'm going to pass that game as well. Moving to Roosters, Dragons, traditional Anzac matchup. And this one's at the SCG. And the Dragons are catching +6.5. Brett Morris is back for the Roosters. Verrills is a huge back at hooker there. And then Warrior Hargraves and TKO are both carrying injuries, but they have both been named on the Dragons side of the ledger. Laurie is back. And Corey Norman has this shoulder injury, but has been named. Now, it's just a huge game for both sides in terms of it's a highly meaningful game. You certainly expect both of these sides kind of always circle this one on the calendar, look forward to it, and are going to show up big time. And both these teams are off disappointing losses last week. And were they looking forward a little to this one? Perhaps. The Dragons loss more so was the disappointing one, because they were favourites against the Warriors and they had a second half lead and they didn't win that. Whereas the Roosters just battled the Storm, couldn't get it done. There is a little edge in here to the Roosters too. It was just simply Roosters didn't play since Friday night. So that's a 9-day prep, whereas the Dragons are off that 1-week turnaround. Now, for that reason and the Roosters class, I look at these two teams, I do think the Roosters are a level above the Dragons, and therefore I could only lay the points with the Roosters. But I also kind of look at this matchup and think this could be a quality game, and I really hope it will be. And I don't like laying 5.5, 6. I think I can see that there's even +6.5s available on this. I can't lay that number of points if I think it's going to be a great game. You look at the Dragons side. I spoke again in the last couple of recaps about why they've done better than expected this year. But one of the knocks on the Dragons in the past was, okay, the halves were really inconsistent. But you've got a guy like Corey Norman, who's in a contract year, who's certainly playing like some really quality footy. And the other thing was the Dragons outside backs never really scared you, but you look at the rise of Dufty, the rise of Zach Lomax, the performance of a guy like Ravalawa in that Monday game against the Eels, Easter Monday. You sign Jack Bird and he's gone really well in the centers, and then the excitement machine Ramsey. So now they do have players that can hurt you. That's what makes this a really interesting game that I just won't quite have the confidence to go either way for a best bet. And finally, Sunday night, the Storm host the Warriors, which has also become traditional Anzac match. And the Storm will be without Pappenhausen. He's got a neck injury, I believe, or it might have been a shoulder injury he copped against the Roosters. So Nico Hines comes in. He's not that same electric player that Puppy is, but he's had several starts for the Storm, certainly very reliable. They also welcome back Dale Finucane for his first game of 2021. That's a big inclusion, co-captain of the team. The Warriors lost Peter Hicku and Adam Pompey last week. Fusitua comes back into the team. Montoya has been a good pickup. He's going to be in the centres. And they get Bailey Sirenin back onto the bench. My first instinct looking at this line, 16.5, it seems a little bit disrespectful to New Zealand to me. I mean, they've won 3 out of 6 matches this year. On one hand, I have said that the Raiders win was very lucky. But on the other hand, they lost that game to the Knights in the final kind of 4 minutes. They lost a Manly game in the final minute. So they've been pretty consistent this year with their performances. And it's a little bit like the previous game in Roosters-Dragons, because these teams were the opposite opponents of each other. In Warriors played Dragons, Storm played Roosters. So the Storm, again, off a 9-day prep at home, whereas the Warriors are off the 7-day. So you know the Storm kind of comes in fresh. You know the Storm takes this seriously. And look at the lineups. It's clear the Storm forward pack does have the edge with no Fanua Blake there for the Warriors. Not that they have a weak pack, but this Storm forward pack, when you get back Finucane, is strong. And then they've just got a huge edge, the Storm, at 9, 7, and 6. Clearly, whether it be Harry Grant or Brandon Smith playing hooker, and then the halves, it's a big advantage over the Warriors, and it could be enough of an advantage that blows a score out late. So while I would lean to the Warriors getting that number of points, I don't have the strength for a best bet. And again, I'm sorry that I couldn't have more best bets on games this week. I mean, there's been rounds earlier this season where I've had best bets on up to 5 matches, but to be successful in the long term, and I've got to give you guys players that I'm really confident in, and it's not going to be a fixed number every week. I just really take each game as it comes and look at it and see what jumps out at me. And not a lot did this week, so I'm just still going to be watching it really intently to kind of see where we go from here and see how these games go. And it's just a very interesting slate of games where a lot of matches where you probably feel pretty confident you could pick who wins, but these lines are just in kind of no man's land where I don't have a great degree of confidence which way it's going to go. And that's the reality of betting. It's very hard to win on these at a rate that is profitable when we're risking $10 to win 9 every time. So it's better to stay away from a bet that ends up losing than it is to even pick a winner. So again, trying to be selective to do the right thing by you guys. When I do give out a best bet, you know I really do stand by it. Thanks for tuning in. As always, enjoy all the footy. Please share with me what you reckon. Is there any value out there that I'm just missing, or have I said anything you totally disagree with? I love to hear and interact with you guys, and I appreciate everybody who does interact and everybody who follows along. As always, please gamble responsibly. Lego.